is taken from Philippians 2, 1 through 11, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and 9 through 6. So I'd encourage you to turn to those. And while you are turning to those passages, I'll just highlight two announcements. One is that the Empty Nesters will be meeting at the Babcock's house next Friday night. July is Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though the grace given through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And then 9 through 16. Oh, gosh, I read further. In hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And then it's Philippians 2, 1 through 11. If there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
A few house cleaning announcements before we begin. The second is when Doug asked me to preach, I had a list of the freedoms to choose to preach on, freedom from, freedom to. looking through the list, I thought, I've got to get something that's relatively easy that maybe I'll be a little bit familiar with. Well, the second part is true. I chose something I am familiar with, but because it's something I struggle with, and that's a prayer request, it was not easy to prepare. So imagine a big mirror here today, and you're not there. Okay? I'm preaching to myself, but I hope I'm also preaching to the choir and everybody else that's there. I'd like to have us thank the Lord for His word at this time. Great God, we do pray that You would be our vision. You have given us everything in this world to enjoy richly, You say in Your word. But may the things of earth not distract us from using those things to worship You. I thank You that Your word does not return void and that You send it out to accomplish Your purpose so that we can have confidence when we share Your word, whether it's with a spouse, a child, a friend, someone we don't know. We know all things ultimately are for Your glory and the good of those who love You. Thank You for the opportunity to be together with other people of like precious faith. If there are some here who do not yet claim You, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, we pray that today would be the day to at least begin to consider that. And may Your Spirit convict and bring another person into the family of God. Amen. The other house cleaning thing is I haven't used PowerPoint very often, so I'm hoping it works. Let's test this. There we go. There's the theme. There we go. We've already read the passage. I'd like to read it again. This I will read rather fast since you have heard it already. Therefore, if any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, and the key is by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of a cross. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And the word there is means worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given the hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Do you worship yourself? As we have been going through, freedom from and freedom too. Remember, someone has talked a little bit about freedom from the whole concept of sin. We've talked about anger. Someone has mentioned depression. I missed a good one last week, I was told. Freedom from ourselves is the goal of the gospel, one of the goals of the gospel. I'm not exactly sure. Every time I told this, my mom corrects me, and then I forget. But I was only 2 or 3, and the scene went something like this. Mommy, I want it. I'm sorry, Kenny, you can't have it. Mommy, I want it. I know you might want it, Kenny, but you can't have it. Mommy, I want to need it now. And she gave me what I needed. And it was not what I wanted. Now you're laughing because you know and I know that adults and older kids and teens don't throw temper tantrums like that. And we don't make demands, do we? What do you do when others will not give you what you want when you want it? Do you know anybody who has ever lashed out because they have to wait too long in line? Do you know anybody who loves to be first at the buffet and potluck dinners to make sure that your favorite food is still there when you go through? Hint on the side, just be careful when it's a potluck. The person behind you may have brought the dish that you're bypassing, so don't say anything about it. How about highway drivers? My wife and I got rear-ended this week. We were to drive away, but it was a nuisance for half an hour. No, we did not smile that the person told of their car behind us, but it was tough not to. Because people want to be ahead. You ever wonder why they want to be half a second ahead of you and they're going to have to stop at the next light anyhow? How does that make you feel? Maybe you've known a marriage in shambles because either one or both members of that family do not want to die to themselves. Instead, they want the other person to do everything their way, my way or the highway. Or parents who spend all their time doing hobbies, socializing, other things instead of spending time with their kids or spouse. Or parents who spend every minute and all their money on the child because they think that's what's good for the child. You know of moms and dads. You may not know the mom and dad, but you've seen them. They're very well behaved. They let their kids run over the place and whatever the kid wants to do. At the Clark, don't throw stones in the reflection pool. But there was a 2-year-old throwing stones in. And when I got to my post, the person who was the guard before me said, "Those people keep throwing stones." They said, "We don't know what else to do." We told the parent. And the parent said, "Well, I can do. The kid's only 2. I wonder what they're going to do when the child's 15. Do you know any children? Since we have various ages here, we want to make sure everybody gets to think about something. Any kids who think that someone else is taking too much space in the back seat? This is my side. How dare you come over to my side? Granted, I'm taking 2/3 of the back seat, but that's a different story. Or maybe, you know, somebody who gets mad when other people aren't getting what they expect from you or from them. Or maybe, just maybe, there's someone here. When it comes time to give to God an offering, There's never enough money to go around. Or maybe, today being the exception, you complain about the service. Today it's allowed. Maybe the sermon's too long, too short, too harsh, too severe. We never sing hymns. We sing too many hymns. The list goes on. Chairs are too soft. I wish they had the old pews. You know. Why do we do that? You ever think about why? The evil of selfishness is running rampant, not only in this society around us, but in the church in general, in families, in me. So I'm assuming in you as well. We are enslaved to ourselves. Maybe we won't use it. There we go. We'll get to that in a minute. There's only been one person born who was not enslaved to that bent of self-centeredness, and we know who he is, our Lord Jesus Christ. We know someone has sung, "I did it my way." And I'm not a Burger King fan, but I'm told you can have it your way there. At least it used to be the motto. The world says, love yourself. Pastors have said there are three commandments. Love yourself, love God, and love your neighbor. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. Therefore, Jesus is saying, love yourself first, or love God, love yourself, and love your neighbor. I guess Jesus was wrong when he said there's two commandments. Self-esteem runs rampant. I know Satan's a god of this world, but under him, think of the culture anywhere in the world, every country, every time frame since countries have started. There is one god or goddess that every culture has worshipped. And you're going to help me with this. You can go like this, if you want to. I know some of you are a little shy in this, but... And you're going to go like this and say, me. That's the number one god under Satan in this world. If worship is defined as reverent love, reverent devotion, accorded a deity or an idol or a sacred object, or the definition is ardent admiration and love, adoration, to regard with adoring esteem and devotion, then certainly ourselves would be considered our favorite object of worship. How much do you focus on yourself? So I'm going to go through some tests today. Don't answer out loud, but seriously think about these things. Your conversations. Do you spend much of the conversation talking about yourself and your interests? Do you do much of the talking and keep the conversation centered around yourself? Yes, you do, Ken. If so, you're probably self-absorbed. Do you leave a window open in the conversation so that others can talk about themselves? Or do you keep the conversation flowing? If so, then like me, you probably worship yourself. What about your listening skills? This one gets me a lot. Do you tend to move the conversation back to yourself instead of listening to and appreciate what others have to say? You're ready with the answer or moving the conversation along without considering what the other is saying. Right, kids? They have a father who does that. Ask yourself, how often do you learn something from another person? Or do they go away learning more about you? Have you been able to remember anything about that person that you didn't know before? Now, some of us getting old, we might not remember. But then we're reminded, oh, yes, that's right. Or do they have to go away saying, boy, that I know a lot about Ken. You put your name in there. Kids, teens, how about the argument you've had with your brother and sister? Well, in my family, we had arguments with my sisters. Are you more focused on being right and winning the argument than understanding your brother or sister's point of view? Have you ever argued with mom or dad? We love to worship ourselves. Next test. We're supposed to be here. Let's see what happens. There we go. Is your attitude in a social event? What's in it for me? Some people have that as a church requirement. They hop from church to church to find out what's in it for them. Instead of what do I have in me to give? Well, I'll only go to that meeting if I don't get bored. I've always wondered, how can we get bored when we're a favorite person of our own minds? We never leave ourselves. How can we ever get bored? If you find yourself walking away from social interaction, thinking how great a job you did, or of sounding smart, or listening, or have other people listen well to you, maybe we're self-absorbed. Consider a party. Now, hopefully this will never be said of any husband here, but my husband and I, the wife might say, have been happily married for 20 years. I guess that's because we're both in love with the same man. How come I've heard more women laugh than the men? I don't recommend this individual, but Oscar Wilde has said, as a quote, come over here and sit next to me. I'm dying to tell you all about myself. We do that, don't we? Excuse me. I do that. Maybe you don't. Next test. The criticism test. Hopefully that came up. Are you open to constructive criticism, whatever constructive means? Do you distrust or dismiss feedback from others? Well, they're just saying that because, fill in the blank. Or do you become defensive? Do I become angry? Then maybe we're too self-absorbed to understand that the friend might be trying to tell us something to help us. Granted, we know there are people who are out to get us or trying to knock you down. But those that we love and respect, we should be thinking that they're at least somehow considering our good. Do people tiptoe around you because they're afraid of hurting your feelings with a bit of honesty? Who's at fault when you make the mistake? I'm making the assumption that you have made one or two. If you forget to pay the bill. Now, I wrote the sermon before that happened. But I paid the bill and didn't put the amount in the checkbook. And when you forget to put $1,450 and your wife sees all the money in the checkbook to buy things for kids who are going away for vacation, guess who's left depleting all the savings? No excuses. I'm guilty. But have you ever said, I'm not really guilty. Well, if you wouldn't have spent. Kids, is it your fault or your brother's and sister's fault that you got in trouble with your parent? Another area to test ourselves. What happens when things aren't done your way? Let's try, there you go.
You have trouble accepting the way other people do things. For the life of me, I don't know why people have to be so stupid in coming up with some ideas they do. I have a problem, don't I? I trust you. Well, not trust. I would hope that you do not that way. Do you feel jealous when someone else is praised for something they've done? Well, I've done the same thing. I've had to attend to this occasionally. When I do a dishes or something, maybe I actually clean all the dishes that don't go in the dishwasher or some of them and put them on the shelf. You know, they're done. It's nicely. But sometimes there's a little tinge of disappointment when Beth doesn't say thank you or doesn't notice. Should it matter? Why have I done what I've done? Does this shirt sound like the attitude you have sometimes? I'm not antisocial. I'm just anti-stupid. I do wear it around the house, but I don't. I don't think I've worn it in public yet. All right. Our next way. I know you can't necessarily remember all of these, but maybe some of these you can log in your mind. Check off some of the rights that are important to you. The right to control my personal belongings. I have a right to privacy. Right to express my personal opinions. A right to earn and spend money like I want. I have a right to plan my own schedule. A right to respect. Doesn't everybody deserve some respect? I have a right to choose my own friends or to make my own decisions. A right to good health. That was a big one recently, wasn't it? Since 2010. I have a right to be appreciated. A right to travel. A right to work where I want to. A right to be treated fairly. A right to have fun. A right to fulfill my dreams. And I believe all of those that I put up there are things that the Lord Jesus Christ would say are not sinful. If you get perturbed or angry and demanding when you don't get those rights, who are you worshiping? How true are the scriptures that say in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves? This is why Paul tells us that we need to fulfill his joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Esteem others as better than themselves. He doesn't say there that they are better necessarily, but esteem them better. Don't look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Well, how do we overcome our love of ourselves? The passage we read in Philippians tells us to look to Jesus. But I'll give some other references. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 says, "For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge this, if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." John 5:30, "I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own, but the will of..." Whoop, there it was. Now how to get back. There we go. "But the will of him who sent me." I wonder if that's our attitude. The passage today, later on, talks about the attitude Jesus had, who made himself of no reputation. Well, who of all people on earth deserved the best reputation and had the best reputation? But I never, well, I know we didn't, they don't have Jesus as a child beyond younger than 12, except when he's presented in the temple. But had something been written about his life, do you think anywhere we would find Jesus saying to his brothers and sisters, "Hey, don't take my toy again or I'll get you good"? There are some books written about his supposed childhood that has Jesus, when people are doing things when he's a kid, he gets even with them by, you know, some miracles, making things, doing things to them. Horrible. When he walked around, did everyone love him all the time? But we never once hear him say, "Hey, don't you know who I am? I deserve a little respect. Why do I demand it?" Taking upon him the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Would you be willing to become a worm or a spider or whatever else you don't like, a small little thing? Become them, relate to them, and live like them so that they could get to know you. But we have Jesus, the creator of this world, becoming human. And everything that Adam was created before the fall, the perfect human nature, everything, the emotions, the mental capacities, the physical, all, but still feeling some of the results of the fall, tiredness, weakness, limited in terms of how effectively you can communicate to other people and have them understand it. Becoming like men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. The Romans did not invent crucifixion. They did invent the way to prolong life with the most pain by crucifixion. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And then having God forsake him. That, my friends, is love. Greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But beyond that, Christ died for the ungodly, the scriptures say. And while we were enemies, he died for us. How do we overcome our self-centeredness? We look to Jesus. We also look to the scriptures. Galatians, let me see if that works this time, there we go, says, "Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus, or peace, Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father." Look to the scripture promise. Look to Jesus and remember his promises, so we can be victorious because of his resurrection. Those promises can actually take place and be worked out in our lives. I believe Romans 6 was used last week, so I'm not going to be reading the whole passage. But didn't it say something about not letting sin reign in your mortal bodies? Being set free from sin, we can become slaves to righteousness. Looked at other promises in God's Word. What about loving each other? You focused instead of me focused. Fulfill my joy, having the same love, having the same mind, being of one accord. Don't have selfish ambition. Put your esteem others. Look to others' interests and not just your own. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly kindness. In honor, giving preference to one another. distribute to the needs of the saints. It means you must know what the needs are if you're to distribute. Given the hospitality, whether that's in your own home or being hospitable in other ways, return blessing for cursing. Getting to know, and at least to some degree, so when some are rejoicing, you can rejoice. And when others are weeping, you're truly weeping because you're feeling like they are feeling. Associating with the humble. That would be those of lesser social status. In Paul's day, perhaps a slave and a master associating with each other in non-work relationships. Let's not be wise in our own opinions. So how might that look? What might it look like? Well, there was an old commentator named Matthew Henry who grew up, and his father, everything in the house, I'm told, that they had in their house, the father put a spiritual meaning behind it. So that's why when I read Matthew Henry's commentaries, I say, wow, where does all this knowledge come from? He grew up with that understanding of everything I see, try to find a spiritual application. He said, be quick in observing our own defects and infirmities, but ready to overlook and make favorable allowances for the defects of others. Where many of us are slow to observe our own defects and infirmities and quick to overlook and make favorable allowances for our own. Becoming more caring. Developing awareness. This is one thing I need to do quite a bit. Becoming aware of my own behaviors. So I begin to make changes. Asking questions when I spend time with other people. Developing an awareness of my need. Asking questions. For some of you, you're like, duh. Of course you ask questions to know about people. Some of us struggle with what the best way to engage, to draw out the other person. Ask how they accomplished a goal or completed a difficult task. Maybe it's a spiritual lesson that they've been learning. You've asked them about a prayer request. Do I follow up on that? In a work or school situation, asking someone else how they would complete a project. When you already think you know how you're going to do this if it's a group project. Does it have to be me focused? And of course, like I mentioned before, learning how to listen. Don't I want God to listen to me? Don't I want other people to listen to me? Should I not listen to God and listen to other people? Instead of interjecting my own experiences. Paying attention so well that I can repeat it back, at least immediately. Key phrases. Have you ever committed a firm stance before the conversation begins? You know it's going to be a difficult conversation perhaps, and you've got your whole argument all laid out, point by point. So you know in your mind you're never going to be convinced by that other person's opinion. Then I'm not listening. Caring more. Caring about friends even when I'm not with them. Following up, like I said, with questions. Caring for those who are not believers, who are getting themselves into trouble because of the stupid way they live. They know to do right and do evil. And then they come to you asking for help. Jesus came into the world where people do a bunch of stupid stuff, knowing what we should do, and we don't do it. Husband, maybe it's early morning. You're getting ready for work. Maybe mom's getting ready for work, ready with the kids, or she's doing something else at home. The dishwasher needs to be filled. Who does it? Children, The living room needs to be cleaned. So you walk over the papers that are on the ground because it's not my day. Children, have a bedroom. You see your sister or brother slaving. Well, imagine with me. Your sister or brother slaving away at cleaning their room. So you knock on the door and say, "May I help you?" Are we valuing friendships for what they are and not what we'll get? Freedom from myself. With God, all things are possible. May this be said about each of us that was said about the Thessalonians. When Paul was writing the Thessalonians, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians, "For from you the word of God sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia," that would be their county and their state, "but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that I need not say anything." Paul's getting ready to tell this church over here about the Thessalonians. "Don't need to, Paul. We already know. They themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. From self-worship to presenting my body, my mind, my physical body, my emotions, as worship, transforming it by the word of God." British actor Michael Wilding, I don't know anything about him, but he once was asked if actors had any traits that set them apart from other people. How would you answer? He said, "Without a doubt, you can pick out actors by the glazed look in their eyes when the conversation wanders away from being about them." May we get a light in our eyes when we talk about others. Shirley MacLaine, I think she had her day, but some of us still might remember something about her. "The most pleasurable journey," she says, "you take is through yourself. The only sustaining love involvement is with yourself. When you look back on your life and you try to figure out where you've been, where you're going, when you look at your work, your love affairs, your marriages, your children, your pain, your happiness, when you examine all of that closely, what you really find out is that only one person you really go to bed with, and that is yourself. The only thing you have is working to the consummation of your own identity. And that's what I've been trying to do all my life. Your real focus should be on yourself," she says, "and making yourself the best that you can be." May our most pleasurable journey be that of worshiping God as we serve others. Blaise Pascal, wasn't he a mathematician and scientist? Christian, by the way, as far as I know. Said, "It is vain, O men, that we seek within ourselves to cure our miseries. All your insight only leads you to the knowledge that it's not in yourselves that you will discover the true and the good." Shirley and Blaise cannot both be right. D.L. Moody, famous preacher, started a Bible school, didn't really have a lot of education. I think, Mr. Duncan, you graduated from the college, did you not? Moody Bible Institute, all right? "God sends no one away empty," Moody said, "except those that are full of themselves." I won't do this now, but there's obviously some water in here. It's up to this mark. How much water can I put in this cup? Not that much. How much blessing can God put in your life for others? How empty are you? How empty am I? May God never send us away for being too full of ourselves. So what do we need to do? We need to see our need. We need to empty ourselves, being humble, looking to Jesus, and focus on others. That's the way to worship God instead of worshiping myself. Mr. Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. He was unable to attend an annual meeting one year. He was not able to. He was busy doing something else. So someone suggested that he just send a message to the convention that could be read. So the person got up to read the sermon. And the letter said, "Dear delegates of the Salvation Army Convention, others," signed General Booth. That's his message. Let us worship God and keep asking ourselves, how can I help you? How can I serve you? And enjoy your freedom to worship God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you, from all eternity, with the Son and the Spirit, planned a way for the creation that you would make to be able to fellowship with you. Jesus, I thank you that you willingly put aside much of the qualities of deity to become human. No, you did not lose them, but you chose not to use them on this earth. You did become tired. You did have to walk among people who were annoying or potentially annoying, had friends who disappointed you, had enemies who despised you. And you love them, and you love us. Father, help us to look to Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we apply that resurrection power that you have promised each of us who follow you, that we might stop worshiping ourselves so that we can worship you more effectively and more faithfully. And I thank you that forgiveness is with you. And if there are some who have not yet chosen to make you the center of the universe instead of themselves, please save their souls, Lord. And may each of us here who know you be used by you to see that more and more people in this world also desire to worship you. Go with us, Lord. Help us. Encourage us. May we be encouraging to others this week. Amen.